And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Carl Misla joins us. He is a reporter for the London Standard. And we wanted to start the show tonight talking about Madonna. She is on stage again. She's got a tour called the Reinvention Tour, and she was at the Forum here in Los Angeles last night and a few nights ago. The tour is called the Reinvention World Tour, and Carl, when we talk about Madonna and a tour called Reinvention, that's sort of what she does anyway, isn't it?
Well, it's sort of what she does, but to call your tour Reinvention, Phil, and to call your show Reinvention, then you have to come to the table with some sort of reinvented show, and Madonna does not. And it didn't surprise me. I went to the show knowing full well that it would most probably be an embarrassing abomination. And the only question was to what depth she would sink, and even though I did come away completely speechless and shocked at the so-called performance that she gave, but it wasn't a surprise. What was a surprise for me was to the depths that she sunk. She is traditionally well known as tasteless and tactless. She is traditionally well known as just above the vulgarity level of a farm pig. She is, without question, an individual who has gone a long way on very, very little talent.
All right, well, man, that's coming out of the gate with both guns blazing.
Well, you sort of have to come out of the gate with both guns blazing with Madonna, because she has so many apologists in the media. And the American, I suppose, more than anything, the most frustrating part of reviewing a Madonna show is that you're reviewing it not only for a European audience, but also for an American audience. And Americans are traditionally, with the greatest respect to my host and to the people listening to the program this evening, Americans have a maddening ability to look at a pile of dog excrement and say, it looks like Swiss cheese, you know. They don't really know what they're looking at,
Let me help you along. Not help you along, Carl, because I know you know what you're talking about. You're talking about Madonna's show. You obviously don't like her, and
well, it's not a personal thing. She's an overrated animal. She has no real singing ability. She's not really got much in the way of dancing ability. But what she did on stage last night at the Forum was utterly without reason, and it is utterly without redeeming value, and that there were children in the audience, and that there were mothers present while she did what she did in a very graphic way, in a way that said, I don't really care what children think about this that I'm doing right now in front of their very eyes, it's almost unbelievable, even for Madonna. And I know that she can get down in the sewer better than any other artist that I can think of. And being an American artist, and again, I emphasize with the greatest respect to you and to the people listening, being an American pop music artist means there is no real bottom. You will swim in any sewer in order to please the powers that be at your record label or whatever.
Look, there's a lot of politics, though, in her show, correct?
No, it's not political at all.
My understanding was that there was a George Bush and Saddam Hussein.
Well, unless you consider pure unadulterated filth political, I mean, the thing that this woman, if you can really even call her a woman after what I saw her engage in last night, what she did on stage in front of, and I would imagine, again, young people, and it's questionable whether there was anyone in the audience really under the age of 40 who even knows who in bloody hell Madonna is, but the thing she did on stage, I was literally, I waited for her to come back out and apologize. I honestly did.
You know, I haven't seen the show. In fact, having never really seen Madonna live, you're painting a pretty ugly picture, and Madonna's always gone for shock value. But
shock, Phil, is one thing. Shock in many ways is predictable. I mean, to give you an example, I'm sure that Eminem thinks he's shocking, but when in point of fact he's utterly boring. But Madonna, because she has always, in my opinion, lacked real talent for performing, has never has to overreach. But to do what she did on stage at the Forum last night with children and families looking on was so repugnant, so utterly without, you know, redeeming social value. When I recall things that they said, for instance, about Ozzy Osbourne and what he's done and been arrested for, and then Madonna has the utter temerity to walk out onto the stage last night and begin a series of exhibitions that would make your stomach turn is inconceivable to me. It really is.
All right, we're talking with Carl Mizla about the Madonna. I didn't see the show at all, Carl. I read a negative review of it by Robert Hilburn in the L.A. Times, but I did not.
Well, you know, Robert's a very good friend, but he's prone to, you know, he wants to stay friends with these people. You know, this is Robert's weakness. He wants to stay friends with Madonna, so he's not going to. He's not really going to tell it the story, is he?
All right, let me give our phone number 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8666. What, can you tell me what the nature of what she did was? Was it sexual? Was it pornographic? Because you're painting, as I said, a picture that is vulgar.
Well, sexual does not even begin to describe what Madonna did last night, Phil. And I certainly understand your frustration. What she did was vulgar, even for Madonna. Madonna is vulgar. Madonna, you could spell Madonna V-U-L-G-A-R or V-U-L-G-A-R-I-T-Y. Or you could spell Madonna V-O-M-I-T, if you want to. She's always been vulgar. She's always been just above the level of a pig, a slop farm pig, in the way that she presents herself.
You know, can I interrupt for a minute, Carl?
Certainly.
You don't sound like you like her. I mean,
I don't like her. I mean, I've...
Well, no, but it sounds almost like it's personal, man. I mean, there's a certain level of anger. That
no, there's no anger. I'm writing for a London Daily newspaper. I'm living in America right now, you know, on a work visa, and they send me to these shows. They send me to these American shows, and I'm listening. Understand that for me, like so many other writers from Europe, I go into an American audience and I listen to them squealing like school children for this facile entertainment, for this. This gross freak show that they call entertainment over here is very frustrating. Madonna is nothing more. In Europe, Madonna is seen as nothing more than, as I said, than just a festering pile of dog excrement. But in the United States, all of a sudden, everyone thinks she's the second coming of the Beatles or of, God forbid, Barbara Streisand or something like that, you know. And
well, give me the specifics. Did you have to go? Did it have to go with the music? Was it part of the stage show and what she did?
Well, it was a combination of both, but more the stage show and the graphic nature of it. Now, I have interviewed Madonna on almost every tour she's been on. I can assure you, it is not a pleasant experience. First off, she is not a pleasant person because she's this overinflated. She has this overinflated sense of who she is. But more to the point here is the personal hygiene of the woman. It is absolutely a travesty. You walk into her dressing room and it is the stench, the smell is foul. And that no one in her entourage is acquainted enough with feminine hygiene products and antiperspirant.
Wait, what? This is when you've been interviewing her.
I'm sorry, but I didn't get that.
This is when you've been interviewing Madonna. You've gone into her dressing room, and it has smelled in there.
As sure as Custer took an arrow right through his neck, you walk in. I can tell you. 3 weeks ago, my niece visited from London. My sister is a on the board of Virgin Records, and she was traveling. So my niece is here. I said, "Well, I'll take my niece to the Los Angeles Zoo." And we walked into the petting zoo, and I don't know if you're familiar with petting zoos, but...
Yeah, the kids go there.
Right, the kids are there, and they had guinea pigs, and they were chickens, and they were goats, and this sort of thing. And I took a deep breath, and I said, Jesus, you know, I used the Lord's name in vain, and I said, it smells like I'm sitting next to Madonna. It is a fetid, musty, musky stench that emanates from... almost months of animal excrement moldering beneath hay.
Wow. I have never heard in all of the interviews of Madonna her described quite this way. And what you are describing is a stage show and a woman that is and was patently offensive.
That is precisely the correct thought. And I thought of becoming an American citizen. The fact that almost every American bows at the feet of this rancid, foul Madonna is almost embarrassing to be associated with Megan. And so I have said to my attorney, who was an immigration attorney, and I wanted to get a green card, I said, I have second thoughts, because why would I want to become an American citizen when almost every American bows and scrapes at the feet of this malodorous cow who has all the talent of a one-armed vaudevillian juggler, and yet is perceived as almost a Christ-like figure in the United States? And this is why I have such frustration with this country and the way that you people are.
All right, hold on for a minute. Carl Misler with us. This is the most unbelievable review I've ever heard of Madonna, any show she's ever given. He said that it was new depths, that she has sunk to new depths. He said that what she did on stage last night during her reinvention tour show did not take into consideration that there were children present. He said it was vulgar, even for Madonna. He said that she herself is a cow. I'm flabbergasted. Now, I got to tell you, the reviews of this tour have not been great, but I've not heard it reviewed quite like this. We're going to be back with Carl Misler from the London Standard about the Madonna tour, and our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue in a moment. Coming up later on our show, we've got a Kobe Bryant update, and Dr. Jeff Dowder will join us as well.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio's prodigal son.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Carl Misler, the London Standard, joins me. He is a writer and a reviewer of popular music. He saw the Madonna show. Madonna is, you know, I can understand how Madonna has been controversial. You are painting the portrait of a woman who is so utterly befouled. I mean, you're talking about a show that is obscene. Her show, this new reinvention show, is obscene. Is that what you're saying?
I think, Phil, listen, please don't misunderstand me. To say that the show is obscene is to almost give it a recommendation. I'm telling you that this show is a journey into a septic tank. It is a journey into a septic tank. It's to sit and to bathe in sewage. It's to sit and bathe in someone else's filth. But it does not surprise me, coming from Madonna, because she has always been one who is willing to plumb the depths of depravity in a gleeful, almost a happy way, and in the process scandalize children and outrage parents, and this from a mother of two children. Now, here is the part that I think is the most...
She has two kids, doesn't she?
She does have two children. She's got, Lourdes, a little girl whose father was a handyman in Miami, some kind of a gardener or a plumber. This is what we have with Madonna. She spread for a man who is hourly at the home she was with, that she was living in. Then we have Rocco, who is the progeny of this most recent this most recent joke that she's married, Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie, everyone knows, it's well known in Europe, Guy Ritchie is a talentless hack, but in America, of course, he is a
let me interrupt you here for a minute. You have an opinion that Americans are being duped and fooled by Madonna, where the rest of the world isn't.
Oh, without question, right.
I mean, but isn't she popular in Europe?
Well, she's popular in Europe in a way that is almost... It's the reason why people went to see William Hung from America. In other words, she's popular in Europe because she's so bad. But Americans are the only ones who... So look at what we've got to offer up here. We've got Madonna, there's another reason why you should just love our culture here in America. And look at her. Isn't she brilliant? The rest of the world is looking at her. She's perfect rubbish. And yet, through this all, and I wanted to talk about her children because she was on stage last night at the Forum in Los Angeles, and she's performing her filth. And that's all you can describe it, Phil. It is utter corn-speckled excrement. Really, what she was doing. And I... Really, the only... And the other thing that bothers me about her is she is...
Let's keep to her show, okay? You're doing a lot of personal attacking here.
Well, I'm not doing personal attacking.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of this personal hygiene. Let's stick to the show.
Well, I want to say, though, she affects an English accent. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but Madonna walks around Europe, when she was living in Europe, with an English accent. And but the only thing that's English that one could say is remotely English on Madonna are her rotting yellow teeth with the gap in the middle. That's what's English about her, is the fact that her smile is like looking at rows of crooked corn on the cob. And so I...
All right, let's move past the... I'm uncomfortable with the personal attack. Let's talk about the show.
Well, I'll talk about the show, but in order to talk about the show, I've got to bring up one thing. There were children present at the show last night, and also Madonna is the mother of two children. She's got this Lourdes, she's got this kid Rocco. These children I have met, and it is quite a sad day when a reporter must report, as I must report on your program this evening, that not only is Madonna utterly devoid of any human decency as well as talent, but her children are without question literally the stupidest looking. And
I'm really not comfortable with talking about the kids.
All right, but I'm
really not comfortable with talking about her kids. I mean, the children. Children are guiltless and blameless regardless, wouldn't you say?
No, I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying that they have the dull, dead look that their father and mother have.
I'm not comfortable with this. Okay, these children...
I'm not criticizing the children's personalities, Phil. I'm just saying when you look at Rocco, you look at Lourdes, you look at Madonna's children, they have that dead look. I would never bring myself to say this about a child.
And so why are we saying it about Madonna?
Because it's amazing. It's true. I've interviewed the children of all kinds of odious people, but I never thought that I'd criticize the children. The children of Madonna they look like their souls are dead. They look as if their souls are rotting inside their small bodies. And it's quite a horrifying thing to realize that one so young could already have a soul. I mean, the essence, the God essence, or the God spark, is somehow blackened inside of them. And I feel that...
All right, can we stop this, Carl? Because I really am uncomfortable with it.
Certainly. I'm not trying to...
Well, let's just move past the kids. Let's get on with her career, her show. You also wrote a little bit about...
Well, look, let's talk just before. This gap in her teeth is something that her children... And the gap, by the way, is so big when she smiles, you can see her tonsils. I mean, and the children have...
Let's get off of her personal looks, and I want to get back onto the show, is all I'm saying.
I'd be happy to do that, Phil, but I want you to know something. This is all very, very pertinent to who the woman is. That she has fooled us into thinking she's beautiful, when in point of fact, she has a face that would stop time. She has a face that would turn a man into a pillar of salt. And yet, she has convinced Americans that she's beautiful, and only Americans, I might add, that she's beautiful.
All right, well, we'll get on to what you think of Americans, too. Carl Mizliz joined us. 1-800-449-8686. Madonna's show, apparently, is terrible. We'll be right back with Carl of the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Carl Mizler of the London Standard, who was at Madonna's show at the Forum last night and has painted a picture of her show that is so utterly without any redeeming value, as you said, a patently offensive show. You haven't been specific. What you're describing, how is it that this woman, and by the way, we'll get to a phone call here or two in a moment, but I wanted to ask you this. How is it that this woman, that you describe as nothing more than a farm sow, how has she attracted such a legion of fans, and that she comes off in interviews that I've heard is an articulate woman?
Well, there's no interview that I've ever done that I can assure you, but no interview that I've ever done, but that they don't know who reads my interviews. People today love to watch this... Merry Heart, or they watch this E as always with this bloody E, you know, which in my opinion stands for excrement, not entertainment. It stands for excrement television, not entertainment. So, no, if you've read any one of the three or four interviews that I've done with Madonna, you would have read the truth about the woman. But
so why do people have this perception that she's a great woman and a great talent?
Madonna is a master manipulator. She can camouflage herself in so many different ways, and of course. You know, the Americans, they can't recognize her. They fawn all over her. They think she's something she's not. It's a remarkable trait that you people have, really, over here. As a matter of fact, I'd almost call it a talent that you have in America at looking at maggot-ridden roadkill and think it's filet mignon.
All right, that's a pretty strong criticism. What you're saying is that we have no ability to judge talent in this country. We've produced quite a few great talents in this country. You know, and I can name the Frank Sinatras of the world, the George Gershwins of the world.
Frank Sinatra was a wonderful singer. George Gershwin was a wonderful singer, but they're not Beethoven and Tchaikovsky, are they? And to hear Americans tell it, every time one of you has a bowel movement, it's supposed to be taken as the possibility of gold being discovered. It's just, without question, the most maddening aspect of America. And I think it's what makes Madonna so popular, that you've been able, you all think that she, when she farts, it smells like, you know, lilacs. And I'm just not buying it, especially if you saw what you saw last night.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Carl Mizler with us. Andy, go ahead.
Carl, I would like to tell you that for the last 20 minutes, I didn't hear anything but the personal attacks on Madonna. What I would like to hear is the facts, just the facts.
All right, well,
let us judge, okay? Because otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, I've interviewed the woman four or five times, so it's not as if I'm speaking from a lack of experience with Madonna. So what can I do for you, Andy? What would you like me to say that I've not been able to explain to you?
Okay, I just cannot judge, I just cannot get a clear picture, because, like, in that old joke, he made an despicable crime. What is that crime? I cannot tell you, otherwise it wouldn't be despicable.
You're speaking about her stage show, the reinvention tour.
That is correct.
All right. The show itself is almost utterly impossible to describe, it's so bad. She comes out and begins a series of unspeakable acts that would make Caligula blush. And if you want me to explain who Caligula was, Andy, I'd be very happy
to. I do know who Caligula
all right.
was.
She proceeds from this series of unspeakable acts into a song. Her singing voice, as you know, the woman is rather advanced in age now. She's about 44, 45 years of age. And so her singing voice is almost... It would bring you to tears to hear how she sings now, because she just doesn't have a voice that she once had, if indeed she had a voice at all. She then breaks into these songs that are so difficult to hear that I would rather hear a man being tortured. I would rather hear the screams of a man being tortured than listen to her sing. And she wraps the entire evening up after she goes through a few more unspeakably disgusting displays of herself and her, you know, her body, and that I want to leave, and I want to get sick against a wall somewhere.
Okay, did you sit through the entire concert?
That really wasn't as specific as.
Well, how specific do you gentlemen want me to be? I mean, it's like asking me, Phil, would you please describe in great detail the Nick Berg video? I don't want to. I can't relive it. I can't think of it.
Are you telling me that Madonna's show last night was as disturbing to watch as the Nick Berg video?
Yes, I am. and I hope that gives both of you gentlemen a general idea of what I'm talking about.
Okay, thank you.
It was disturbing, it was violent, it was... And that, of course, is what she has done to Lena Wertmuller, too.
Well, I want to get to Lena Wertmuller. A lot of people don't know who she is. She's the lady that had originally made a movie called Swept Away that Madonna and her husband, Guy Ritchie, remade. But the Nick Berg video is so violent and unrelentingly so that one is haunted by it for days. Are you telling me that Madonna's stage show was violent?
I'm telling you that Madonna's stage show and Madonna herself stay with you the way a horrible gastric attack stays with you, the way a spastic colon stays with you. It stays with you the way angina does, the chest pains. Madonna's entire performance persona and the woman herself is like an unrelentingly inflamed hemorrhoid that bleeds and...
Okay, man, God!
Would you ask me?
I mean, everything about this woman is just so vile. Now we've gotten to hemorrhoids. I've listened to her music.
Well, you're an American. You're...
And you're saying that Americans are so utterly without any perception that we don't know what bad music is.
Well, you don't know it, but look, coming from the European tradition, where we've had centuries of music, and we've been able to discern sort of what is talent and what is flash in the pan, Americans don't know that. It's only 200 years of American culture. Now, I want to get to Lena Wertmuller because...
All right, well, let me give our number out here. 1-800-449-8686. Carl Misla, who has been on this show for the last 45 minutes describing Madonna in varying degrees as a sow... That her personal hygiene, you said she smells like manure that's been festering under hay in a barn.
Yes, that is the description that I use, that in the London Standard column.
So we've gotten into her personal hygiene. You say her children have the dull, dead look of people whose souls are black. These are children.
Phil, if you want, I can call up Mary Hart or John Tesh or one of these other... these other dozy bastards that you watch on television, and you can talk to them, and they'll tell you all about how Madonna is all so wonderful. But Lena Wertmuller made a movie called Swept Away that Guy Ritchie, who is the latest indecent joke that Madonna has decided to betroth herself to, or at least hitch her wagon to for a while, and they decided to remake what was once a beautiful movie. It was once upon a time a beautiful movie. It's been destroyed by the two of them. Madonna and Guy Ritchie took Swept Away and completely and utterly blew huge... I mean, they just blew huge hanging hawk goobers all over this thing. It was just... Now, here's what happened. Once they completed the stench that was Swept Away, Lena Wertmuller saw it. And it is reported to me that she attempted suicide by asphyxiating herself in her Mercedes-Benz. I have never, in 15 years of covering entertainment, ever heard of anyone trying to commit suicide after watching a film because it was so bad. That's what I heard. And
I won't tell you that I like the Madonna version of Swept Away, and I will tell you I'm a big admirer of Lena Wertmuller's. I didn't know she tried to kill herself.
Well, I believe she... My God, what Guy Ritchie did to that beautiful film. Right there, Madonna would never be able to apologize enough for butchering a film so bad that the original director tried to kill herself. That's unbelievable.
1-800-449-8686.
I mean, we've been forced to see into this woman's soul, and we have seen it through places on her body that no one should have to look through without protection on. We have had to, if you will, look into, we've been forced to look at Madonna sitting on a toilet, and all we ask is that someone passes a prophylactic big enough to cover our entire bodies in. And no one will protect us from it. The Americans continue to foist this woman and her bathroom habits on all of us. And I'm sick of it. I'm just one writer who's sick of it.
All right, let me go over here to Melody. Melody, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I just want to know, who's forcing him to watch this? Well, ma'am,
I'm an American. I'm not forcing him.
Let me answer this. Let me answer the question for you, Melody. He's a newspaper reporter and he's a reviewer, so he has to watch it.
Okay. Well, I still recommend.
It happens to be my job that I'm supposed to review what passes for American culture, and I don't mean to offend. I truly don't mean to offend you. I'm trying to say that when it comes to certain forms of American entertainment, why can't the American people see that what they think is so wonderful is viewed in reality as nothing more than something out of a cat's rear end? And this is true of not just Madonna, but a great many things.
Well, let me say this. I haven't heard the whole show. I just got off work, and what I heard just inflamed me so bad I had to call. But don't lump us all into one group. I don't care for Madonna. I have no desire to see Madonna. But it's not all Americans. I mean,
well,
that's
but the woman
a silly
is obviously,
statement.
Well, that's true, but the woman is obviously so very, very popular in America. And
well, she's
quite,
also popular in Europe.
But,
she's
but,
over
but,
there
but,
doing a tour.
But,
people are coming to see her.
Well, as you said, you didn't hear the entire interview. She's popular in Europe as a joke. Everyone in Europe knows she's a joke. In America, they take her seriously as some kind of artiste, you know, as if she's a...
Well, no,
just,
not me.
It drives me crazy, and I... Well, I'm very proud of you then, Melody, and I would say that you are very unique, because in my travels across this country, I find the American people to be almost almost mind-numbingly stupid when it comes to the entertainment.
Now, hold on for a minute. You are living here, right?
I'm here on a work visa, yes.
All right. Didn't you apply for a green card?
Yes, I did.
Well, that means that you would live here on a semi-permanent base. Why would you want to live here?
Don't start with that, Phil, about it. You know, if you don't like it, leave thing. That's another predictable thing Americans do. They go, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? I'm here because I like to make money, and you can make a great deal of money in America.
Yeah, but you're knocking the way that we enjoy ourselves. You're not...
Oh, so you're a Madonna fan now?
No, I'm with Melody. I'm not particularly fond of her either.
Well, then you can see my point, and it is the other Americans...
If you're here for the money, I mean, then just take the money and go, but don't criticize us.
This sow is making you people look bad, I'm trying to tell you.
The sow? You talking about Madonna?
Yes, this cow and her soul-dead children and the microcephalic imbecile that she's married to, this guy Richie, who took a gorgeous film like Swept Away and wiped his hind end with it. This is unnecessary, and I say I'm for one, you know.
But right, you're no different from her. She's just doing what
Melody,
she can to make money, and you are too.
Look,
so what's the difference?
Melody, you are exactly what Madonna doesn't have, Melody. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, and so I don't listen to her.
And Americans have a lot to be sorry for these days. Let's face it. Let's not this cloven-hoofed beast take this country any lower, all right? I mean, there's enough mistakes that America's made and enough abomination that America's spread around the world, enough of your bile that to cover, God knows, every man, woman, and child on Earth over 50 times over. Let's not make it any worse.
Now, wait just a minute. Now you're getting into our politics?
Oh, well, look at you getting all upset.
Wait, we're talking about Madonna, man.
Well, you're
but you know what? This is the one country where you can
murder.
Say what
look,
you want to say
look at the mass,
and put it away.
The mass murder that you're committing in Iraq. And
what are you talking about, the mass murder?
Oh, and Saddam Hussein was some saint, wasn't he? He was a great man.
And the way Americans love to wave their flag, you know, I'd love to have toilet paper that was red, white, and blue.
Look, you're a hateful man if you're saying these things, Mr. Misler. You want to talk about Madonna, that's one thing. I think that your problem with Madonna isn't that she doesn't have any talent.
You're a radio announcer, do you? I think you sound like Porky Pig. You sound like an imbecile.
I'd like to know who you work for so that we can all sign a petition and get rid of you.
I work for the London Standard, which I don't think, Melody, you read, first of all, because it's a London newspaper. Secondly, I don't think you'd understand a lot that's in it. But let me just say, for all of the war crimes...
So now you're attacking
America,
my intelligence?
Now you're attacking this lady's intelligence.
No, I'm just...
I have a doctor's degree. I'm not stupid.
You have a doctor's degree. That means you know how to play golf. I would say that...
All right, look at...
No, I would say that for all the war crimes America's committed and all of the children that it's murdered, why do you have to give us Madonna? And that's all I'm saying. What's worse, murdered children or Madonna? Frankly, I think Madonna's worse, but they're both odious.
Man... Thank you, Melody.
Is he for real? You're welcome.
Man, you want to know something? I hope not.
Look, Melody, why don't you throw Madonna's greatest hits into your Traykel CD deck and off you go, you know?
Traykel?
Tercel.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio Speed Trap. The Phil Henry Show is back.
What, Carl? Because I don't have a lot of time.
Well, I've got a part of an interview that I did do with Madonna. I thought perhaps you wanted to hear it.
You? What were these comments she made?
These are comments she made right after the show the other night, right?
Go ahead.
Well, here I asked her the question. When you come home at night after a performance, what would you say your husband hears when he hears you singing? And she replied,
"You want to do that again?"
I guess I blew that, didn't I?
Yeah, you pretty much blew that, man. You were supposed to play the cow first, then the horn. Plus, what do you, when you come home from a concert?
All right, I'm sorry. I
look at you. You know, you knock Madonna, man. You can't even pull off a little bit of radio comedy like that. What a lame ass you are, you freaking limey.
You know, you've got some kind of bear on you to call me.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling. Now do it again and do it right.
I said to Madonna, I said, "What do you suppose your husband hears when he hears you singing?" And she said,
"Now hit the horn."
Oh, so that's how you do that.
Yeah, you know, I've heard radio in England, and
it's called Britain, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard radio in England, and it sucks, man. So why don't you stick to writing reviews of Madonna, and thank you very much.
You know, you Yanks are all the same, right? And there's no wonder they call you Yanks, dude. That's probably you spend half your time pulling on it, don't you? You know.
See you later. Carl Misler there from the London Standard. Boy, have you ever been to Britain? Have you ever been to London and listened to the radio that they have over there? You've never heard anything worse. As good as their television is, and it's so far better than ours, it's beyond description. What British TV is so far advanced beyond American, it's beyond description. But they more than make up for the lack with their radio. It's unlistenable. In fact, it sounded like that bit that Carl just did. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we'll have another interview with Michael Moore, the filmmaker. We are also going to be getting into Phil's mailbag, how to read a news story. We got two of them because the news is particularly confusing and badly written. And a Kobe Bryant update coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Extremism. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, there was a time when computer viruses were creatively delivered and could really do some serious damage, especially if you were a personal computer user. You know, in other words, you had your little computer at your desk at work or your computer at home. But now, the way these viruses are coming, at least into my computer or attempting to intrude into my computer, I mean, I look forward to it every day. I look forward to my email every day to see the utterly lame way that computer viruses are being spread. Now, there's a virus out there that many of you are probably familiar with. Does it come in as Barry H? These are the ones that I got today. And every day, it's a variation on this. Barry H, incoming message. Oh, well, that must be from that guy, Barry H. Never heard of you, pal. Delete. Frank, regarding text message. Regarding the text, then there's one called Fran Site Changes. In other words, any message heading that will slightly interest somebody and pique someone's curiosity to the point where they'd open it up. Now, here's the one that I got today, another one that I got today. Sarah M., regarding my message, and then it says, attachment, no virus found. Oh, well, then of course I'll open it up. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Delete, 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 delete. Just this stuff just gets deleted and it just gets chucked out. And there's not one problem with my computer. Everything is flowing smoothly. No problems in our office computers. I haven't had a virus problem in 3 years. First of all, I've got that great Norton antivirus, which my wife just heard of. My wife's computer is so destroyed. It is so wrecked by computer viruses that we had to give it to our MIS guys here, and they had to clean the whole thing up. I think they had to gut it. They had to take a blowtorch to the guts of the thing and start all over again. And why is this? Because when we had our second oldest son install a virus protection of some kind, he got something called PC Illin, like, you know that one? That wouldn't stop. I'm going to tell you right now, that couldn't stop the seven dwarfs from coming into the Fort Knox. And then he put spy suite. I said, what is this? Well, I don't know, honey. Alex put it up. Well, it's utterly useless. Well, I'm not getting any of my messages, and they're all getting kicked back. And then I got one here from Sarah M. regarding my message, no virus found. Naturally, I opened it up. I said, are you out of your mind? So I had to take her computer, and I brought it in here. Well, she's going to learn, man. I gave her that little Norton disc. You got that Norton antivirus? That's the baby. That thing kills anything that tries to get in. It quarantines everything else. And you are dead meat. Now, who are these people that send computer viruses? Well, they're the same people that make anonymous phone calls, the ones that breathe into your message machine, etc. Just little powerless people who are in powerless little jobs, and they've got to have an effect on the world somehow. You know, there's an old saying, those that can't teach. Well, there's another saying that I just invented, those that can't, you know, make obscene phone calls. How do you like that? Is that pretty good? Carl, what do you think of that?
I think it's depraved.
Thank you. Those that can't sit at their cubicle and come up with computer viruses. But these, every day I come in, no virus found. I believe that. I'm going to open that one right up. Site changes. Oh, from Fran. Who's Fran? My webmaster is a guy named Doug. And even if I get a message from Doug that says site changes with an attachment, I ain't opening it up. Frank, regarding a text message. I don't ever send text messages. And then Barry with an incoming message. Huh? Incoming? What am I, sitting in a bomb crater someplace? Whatever you guys are doing out there making those computer viruses, you better get cooking on something bigger and better, because the stuff you're doing right now is amusing. It's not even an irritation anymore. I look forward to it. Just to see the new creative ways that you guys are going to head these things. I mean, what more could you do? You know, regarding your mother, she's dead. You know, I wouldn't even open that up. From Hal, your father has died. Yeah, well, my dad died in 1987. What was the one you had, Janice? It was, wanted to say hi?
Yeah, you're funny. And
aren't you funny?
I missed you last night.
Missed you last night, and it's from somebody named Morty. Missed you last night. Aren't you funny? Here's a laugh from Louie. And, you know, do you love the ones you get where it's got 500 people? You know, it's been sent to 9,000 people. Don't you feel special when that happens? Don't you feel like you've been singled out by somebody? Someone has found you. Someone out there in the world has found you and only you and wants to send you a message because they care about you. You really feel good that you're lumped in with 900 other jackballs. Somehow they got your... It might be the fact that you emailed... Well, it could be somebody that you know. Like, I have a friend who is, you know, he knows me, but every time he sends me an email, he sent it off to 600 other squirrels that I don't know. Do you have these friends that put together newsletters? Oh, my God, would you cats knock that one off? Al-Qaeda could be here. Big headlines. Right after 9/11, I got one from a guy that used to produce TV shows at Fox, and he'd been over here looking at our show, right? So anyway, this nut sent over an email regarding a possibility of chemical attacks on movie studios, and keep your eyes and your ears open. And I sent him a message that put the fear of Jesus into him, and I signed it Osama bin Laden. I said, don't you ever send me an email again about what I'm going to do. And he sent me one back saying, sorry, sir. And then all of that stuff, man. Email's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It's the greatest thing, in my opinion. It's far superior to telephone conversation because you can sit, you can collect your thoughts, you can send exactly what it is that you feel like saying. I'm not really big on instant messaging. I think that is something, you know, when I do, if I ever get involved in that, I feel like I'm spending too much time on a computer. I don't know. But email's cool, you know, unless, of course, it becomes just a way to have a life as opposed to a way to communicate about your life. Jokes? And this one guy, a friend of mine, he said, give me your email address, Phil, because I want to send you this stuff that I get, huh? And I made the mistake of giving it to him. You know, if you work in a company that has all these sophisticated firewalls, I send stuff to some of my friends. It could be something as innocent as, I hope you guys can play poker this Saturday. And it'll come flying back, did not penetrate firewall of OPEC Incorporated. Don't try again. What are you talking about? And this guy says, hey, okay, boy, was that a big mistake, because now I'm getting, it just comes in from KB, 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 all this crap, you know, interesting picture, pictures from Iraq, Harry sends his regards, Joey has a goiter, Betty had the hysterectomy, it's just up and down, man. And I'm like, delete, 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 delete. And then I see the guy, he goes, what is it with you, man? You never respond to any of my emails. I said, they're so highly personal, man. You and 800 other guys I don't know. Don't you understand I work in the media? I work for a major media thing. I can't have my email address going out to you and your friends. I know who you are. I don't know half of the guys that you're hanging around with. They could be Al-Qaeda for all I know. How do I know that you aren't letting some Al-Qaeda cat use your email account because you feel bad for them, just like that Nick Berg kid? I'm going to start sending out email, signing at Osama bin Laden. By the way, on TV right now, I hate to change subjects, but I got to ask you this. That Abu Hamza guy that they just busted in England, what is it about these clerics? They all got one eyeball. One eye is good and the other one is like, nerd. The other one looks like somebody butted a cigarette in it. Is that some kind of a Muslim punishment? Remember that? You think I'm kidding? Remember that one-eyed guy they had in Afghanistan? This other guy's got one eye. And then that dude who did the New York World Trade Center bombing in 93, one eye. Would I? I think what they do is they butt a cigarette in it if you peek under somebody's burqa. You just lift the burqa up, go, woo-woo! And they just, okay, that's it, baby. Take that camel straight, man. Yeah. Walk a mile for that camel. Did you get a load of that? Boy, some of these guys are so good-looking, aren't they? All right, on our show this evening, Afghan Idol is a brand-new TV show in Afghanistan, and we're going to have some sound clips from that. Yes, that's right, direct from Afghanistan, Afghan Idol. Yes, they've got a brand-new TV station, and we'll have the exclusive audio. Uh-huh, sure. We'll also have Phil's mailbag, how to read a news story, times two tonight, because the news is, as I said, baffling beyond comprehension. We'll talk a little bit with Dr. Jeff Dowder, too, about face transplants. Believe it or not, they are able to transplant faces. And Herb Sewell with a flashback from last night's show. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will continue.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I am joined by filmmaker Michael Moore. Mr. Moore is at the Del Cordio Diner in Utica, Michael? He can't hear me. Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah, Phil. I'm at the Del Cordio Diner in Utica, yeah.
Now, I want to talk about this interview that you apparently have with Nick Berg that you don't want to release. You say you don't want to release the interview with Mr. Berg because you are being sensitive to his family.
Yes, I have footage from an interview with Luke Bruce. Hold on for a minute. Can I just get a feedback? I believe it's easier that way.
If I caught you in the middle of dinner again, I apologize, sir, but they told me to call now.
Oh, it's been so long.
Because I called earlier last night and you were eating.
Well, I'll be eating until about 11:30.
So in other words, you'll be eating for another 3.5 hours.
Yes, I was going to say, I hear the sarcasm in your voice. That's not famous, I don't know if you really.
No, I don't mind talking to you, sir, when you're eating. I do mind talking to you when you still have a mouthful of food.
I'm having a club sandwich, are you all right?
You're having a club sandwich? I mean, that's not even that big of a meal.
Well, I'm sure I'm sorry. I said you're rather sorry.
I'd appreciate if you'd swallow what you have in your mouth, yeah.
I said I'm here having a club sandwich. I was invited here by Bill DeCordio, who is the new owner of the DeCordio Diner in Utica, New York. Now, as to Mr. Berg's interview that we do have. Thank you, that is delicious. Oh, look at the presentation on this. Have you ever had, Phil, have you ever had asparagus soup?
Yes, sir, I have had asparagus soup.
The presentation's wonderful, thank you. My compliments to the chef. Here, here's this little something for you. Yes, I have the Big Bill's interview, but the thing with it is...
If you're eating soup, what could be in your mouth?
So I'm not allowed to have a little one soup?
Huh?
I'm not allowed to have a piece of bread with soup.
You got a piece of bread for... Yeah, you can have a piece of bread with your soup. Could you swallow it first?
Jesus H. I have an interview with Nick Berg, and I'm not releasing it. And because of the fact that he says positive things about America's involvement in Iraq, and I obviously don't want that out.
So it doesn't have anything to do with you being sensitive to his family?
Of course not. Where'd you hear that?
Well, it was in the news. They said you didn't want to release the interview with Nick Berg because you're being sensitive to his family.
All you have to do is talk to my employees to know what I think about people. No, I'm not releasing the interview. Because thank you very much. Could you just go ahead and wipe my mouth because I can't...
Who are you speaking with?
I'm speaking with a waitress. Go ahead and wipe my mouth because I don't want to take my hands off the knife and fork. Yeah. Thank you. I'm not releasing it because he says good things about America and I won't have that.
All right, Mr. Moore, that kind of thing doesn't surprise me. The fact that...
Phil, I don't like you. Oh, not only because you're funnier than me, but what you're actually able to get my agent, Mr. Ari Emanuel, who, by the way, is Jewish, you're able to get my agent to allow you to interview me, so I don't like you. And I know that every time you're on here, you are trying to subvert what I do. Can I get another piece of bread, please? A second, I'd bring the whole loaf. Now, the things that I'm trying to...
So you don't like me, I don't like you, but the fact is we can have a conversation, can't we?
We can have a conversation, but please don't try to tell me why I do things.
And by the way, what's the point of you pointing out your agent's Jewish?
Well, I may not like Jews, but when it comes to business, I'm all over that. My agent really put that kike on our new distributor.
Mr. Moore, I don't like your anti-Semitism. What do you mean, put the kike on a new on a new what?
On a new distributor.
On a new what?
On a new distributor. I was told I could get the whole loaf in my mouth. What's wrong?
On a new distributor?
Yes, on a new distributor. And you'll have to live with my anti-Semitism because my next film is going to be about how going to war in the Middle East is because of the extensive Jewish lobby in America. Now, I know it isn't an original idea, but then when have I ever done anything original? Now, if you'll pardon me, I'm trying to have a little bit of dessert. There's a marvelous movie. Oh, God. Oh. Oh, Phil, do you like German chocolate cake?
Yeah, I suppose I do.
Oh, this is delicious. Now, anyway, if you take together the cake,
will you swallow the cake, man? I can't understand what you're saying. If you're eating the cake and you won't swallow it, Mr. Moore, how can I talk to you?
So, you're telling me to make it like it.
You can live any way you want, Daddy-O. It's that you're talking with a mouthful of German chocolate cake. Can't you stop eating long enough to just answer a few of my questions?
Excuse me, miss. Could you just push the food down my throat? I don't want to let go of the throttle. And could I have a side of peanut butter with the cake, too, please? Just a whole jar. Phil, I don't care what you think of me, because I don't like you either. But the fact is, the video that I have of Mr. Berg, Nicholas Berg, he is a notoriously pro-American young man who went to Iraq to help the Iraqi people. Now, I'm Michael Moore. I never say anything good about America, even if I find out there is something good about America. What makes you think I'm going to release the Nick Berg interview then?
I just thought it would be interesting for you to know that the press was reporting...
Well, I got the press in my back pocket. They're all little BB. What am I thinking? Is that bacon? Could you stick it in a blender and make a shake out of it, please? I would like
to... Come on!
No.
Is that bacon? Could you stick it in a blender and make a shake out of it, please?
Oh, I can't see you. No, that's the top. Hello?
I'm here, sir. Well, I think that if you're going to do honor to that young man, and if he does say something good about our country, perhaps you could go a long way toward convincing people that you're not a propagandist who edits and twists and manipulates facts to turn it into the truth that you want people to think it is. Maybe you just put that video out straight.
Listen to it. You always seek it real easy.
Excuse me?
I see.
All right, forget it, man. You know, it's almost like a bad cell phone, isn't it? Just the more that cat eats and it backs up his gullet, you just pretty soon you don't understand anything he's saying. Hold on for a minute. What do you want, Michael? What?
Can you get 2 sticks of butter and help me out of this chair? I need to go to the restroom.
No, I will not. Michael Moore, who has produced a film called Some Kind of Bullcrap. I think that's the name of it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Say, friends, our website is a great place to go for any gift that you want to give. If you've got a Phil Henry fan in your family or your extended family or friends, and some sort of an event is coming up or some kind of a holiday, anniversary, or birthday, all you have to do is go to our souvenir shop, and right there is just oodles of fun stuff that you can give to people. Now, I know many of the ladies out there, you got a husband or a boyfriend that's like listening to this show religiously. You can't get him to turn it off, and it drives you nuts. Give him a Phil Henry Show. Oh, how about an item from the Ted's of Beverly Hills store? We've got our deluxe barbecue set. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, both the Honolulu bowling shirt, which heralds the opening of the new Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu, or the original classic Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. There is the barbecue set, as I mentioned. We have our shot glasses from Ted's of Beverly Hills. These are beautiful sampler shot glasses. And when I say sampler, it's 3/4 ounce. And so, whatever that means. We also have, for the ladies, our I Love Phil women's t-shirt. It comes in a beautiful red contrast stitched 100% cotton t-shirt. It's form-fitting cap sleeve contrast stitch t-shirt that she's sure to dig. So go to our souvenir shop. It's at our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Also, pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. All the money that we raise from the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Isn't that right, Michael?
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, one of the things we do on our show that we hope to do on our show is to be a repository for you for things that we think are just quality things out there in the world that we want to kind of alert you to, like we've been talking about hybrids. And we're going to talk a lot more about hybrid cars, diesel hybrids. This vegetable hybrid thing is, we got to start looking into this. I don't care if I'm driving around a car that smells like a French fry, man, because I ain't going to be taking no chicks out in it. I'm going to work in it. That's it. That's all I'm saying to you guys. We also talked to you about quality tequilas. There's so much, there's just so much misinformation. Now, I also want to alert you to a great movie that I saw today. You've never heard of it. I saw it on the Sundance Channel. I'd never heard of it. And I'm telling you, this film is exactly why I like to go to the movies. And it's an example of a movie that I don't really see too much of. I'm not knocking movies, okay? I'm not knocking what people do. They can do whatever they want to do. They put out any kind of movie they want. But I'm so utterly bored by just about everything I see in a movie house. And then something comes along that surprises you. I can name filmmakers that have a habit of surprising me with their movies. Spike Lee is one of them. Spike Lee's movies are great journeys. They're great stories. I can't really predict how those flicks are going to turn out. I'm not saying all of them, but my favorite Spike Lee movie, and I highly recommend the film. It's a film called Clockers. My next favorite Spike Lee movie is a thing called Do the Right Thing. Then I really liked Malcolm X. There was a lot of stuff that was left out of that movie that should have been put in. Malcolm X's relationship with his sister, a bunch of stuff, but it was a story that needed to be told, and I think he did a pretty good job telling it. And then there's another movie he did called Get on the Bus, which I think is very good. I saw a flick today that may be the greatest movie I've ever seen. You've never heard of it. I've never heard of it. I'm going to tell you about it. I need for you guys to go and find it and to watch it. Now, if you like action, it's got action. If you like violence, it's got violence. But the only thing it doesn't have is sex. I can't promise you any sex in this movie. It does have an enormous amount of human pathos and emotion. It has almost too much reality. It is so realistically told. This film was shot almost documentary style. I'm sure the actors improvised. And what do I mean by improv? I think they invented their lines as they went. I think they were given the basic scene structure, and I think the actors improvised a lot of what they did. The actors are utterly brilliant. I don't think I've ever seen better acting anywhere. And the movie is called Bloody Sunday, and it tells the story of a civil rights march in Northern Ireland in 1972 that was attacked by British troops, peaceful demonstrators who were fired upon by British troops. It tells the story from the British troops' standpoint, both the soldiers of the British Army who were enthusiastic about this, and some of the soldiers who were shocked by what they were asked to do and by the actions of their comrades. It tells the story of the protesters themselves, the civil rights marchers, the IRA, because they were there. The kids in the street who really didn't know from, you know, peaceful demonstration. They just wanted to go and throw rocks at the British. It tells the story of the member of parliament, a guy by the name of Ivan Cooper, who organized the civil rights protest against the internment of Irish Northern Ireland citizens and against the way the British were rounding up people and without any real administration of civil rights and civil liberties, etc. And it's told with a lot of brilliant, brilliant direction. The set direction, you are in the middle of what starts out as a peaceful Sunday afternoon and a group of people that just want to march through the city streets of Derry, Ireland, Northern Ireland, and how this thing turned into a massacre and how it turned into something that not only, obviously, the people of Northern Ireland regretted ever having stumbled into, but the certain British soldiers. There's one soldier who asks his comrades when they're firing at the people, he says, "Where are the targets? What are the targets that you guys are firing at? I have no targets." And they're saying, "Well, we're being fired on." And every time he pokes his head around a corner, he can't see anybody with a gun. There are the soldiers who wanted to get some payback for the fact that British soldiers had been killed in the months leading up to this. They were angry, angry men. They had seen their comrades fall, and by God, they were going to take it out on somebody. No, I guess it didn't matter who. There were members of the British command who realized that they'd made an enormous mistake. At one point, one of them says, "We have to have weapons. You've got to go and find weapons. Were we fired on?" "Yes, sir, we were." "Well, where are the weapons?" "We haven't found any." "Well, you better go find some, because I got to go and meet the media right now, and I have to give them a reason for what we just did." There are people in the high command who have totally guilty consciences about what they were asked to do. There are the demonstrators themselves who feel like they were led into a slaughter. There's Ivan Cooper himself who can't believe that what he wanted to have happen, a peaceful demonstration, could have gone so wrong. You know, the funny thing about civil, you know, peaceful demonstrations, and I think what happened that day in 1972 in January, you know, they kept talking about Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi. He kept saying, you know, "Just like Martin Luther King, we're going to be like Martin Luther King. We're going to be like Mahatma Gandhi. It'll be peaceful." Well, one of the things about King and Gandhi, both of those men were very deeply steeped in the operation of a peaceful civil disobedience campaign. They had seminars and classes for the demonstrators, for the people that would take place, take part in these demonstrations. These were very well-trained protesters and marchers. They knew what they had to do. They knew what to do if they were fired on. They knew what to do if anybody used a water cannon on them, which the British used on these Irish protesters. It's not something you just say, well, let's go have a peaceful demonstration. It takes an enormous amount of discipline, and unless you're ready to do it, unless you've actually had a series, probably weeks worth of training for the people that are participate in this, it's going to go really wrong really fast. And that's exactly what happened. This was a well-meaning man, but you can't just say, let's go out and have a peaceful demonstration. What happened was, the British told him they were not allowed to go down one street, and they said, well, we want to go down that street. It had some significance, and forgive me, I don't remember the exact reason why. And they said, well, we're going to send two symbolic marchers down that street. Well, when they came to the part in the road where they needed to turn off and go down this street to send those two symbolic marchers, that the British said, okay, you can send two, but nobody else. People started to follow them. And when the people followed, the British got nervous. And when they got nervous, they began to fire rubber bullets. And it backed a lot of people off, but that brought a lot of kids out onto the street, the rock throwers. And so now they had kids throwing rocks, and they responded with a water cannon. And the kids responded with more rocks. Then they sent in C2 gas. And the kids kind of grabbed, you know, handkerchiefs and put them over their faces and responded with more rocks. And that's when the British asked their command, what do we do? And they said, you better roll and get them off the street. But don't chase them. Get them off of the street, but don't chase them. Now, you got a guy sitting at a command post who gives this order. And this was a character, this British officer, who realized that he had a possible disaster on his hands. He didn't want any fatalities. When he said, get him off the street, but don't chase him, it worked its way down to the street command. All they heard was, get him off the street. They didn't hear, don't chase him. And the British chased them. They chased them all the way back down the road to the point where all the peaceful demonstrators were assembled, listening to speeches. And the next thing they do, they turn around and they see British troop carriers and soldiers and half-tracks racing toward them. And there's a lot of young, nervous soldiers firing into this crowd. Now, it seems unbelievable that any civilized army of well-trained professionals, which the British Army is, Don't make any mistake about it. It is one of the most professional on the face of the earth. How they could fire into a crowd of unarmed civilians is just unbelievable. And yet they did. They might have perceived some kind of threat. I'm sure the IRA had a gun there or two, and there might have been shots fired by the IRA. Same thing happened at Kent State. How could you stand there in front of a bunch of students and fire into that crowd? They got nervous. Anyway, this movie, Bloody Sunday, which is told with actors and with writing and with sets, this is not a documentary, but I dare you to watch this movie and think you're not watching the documentary. I dare you to watch this film and think that you are not watching something that was shot at the time it happened, because that's how good it is, man. So I can promise you a very good action movie. And I can promise you a brilliantly acted and directed movie. And I can also, for those of you like myself who want a story, I can promise you a good story. And I can also promise, for those of you who want history told in a fairly consistent and accurate way, like myself, you're going to get that too. It's the reason why I like to go to movies. I personally think it's the only reason why movies ought to be made, to create or recreate reality. I mean, when I say reality, we all know what reality is. We live in it every day. And when we watch television, we damn sure know that ain't it. Now, we don't live in a time anymore where we're trying to escape reality. Forget it, man. There's no escaping reality. What television can do for us now is it can reinterpret reality. It can re-center reality for us. It can give us the better aspects of reality. I don't know. But this flick, Bloody Sunday, is the best damn movie I've ever seen. Without question. Now, I'm not big on porn. So maybe for some of you, the best thing you ever saw was Lesbian Lingerie Party with Candy Samples and the great kitten Natividad. But for me, I got to tell you, this movie knocks it freaking out of the park, man. And so I would be remiss if I didn't mention it to you. I couldn't even watch the whole flick. I had to leave for work. I'm sort of going, oh my God, I'm going to miss like the last 5 minutes of it. But I can tell you, leading up to everything, great. That's it. Yes, Mr. Moore? Yeah, it's better than your movies. If that's what you said, with your mouth filled with German chocolate cake. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, Dr. Jeff Dowder on face transplants. Brother. It's a Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, welcome to Ask an Idol. Here is Annette Seacrest. Sorry, right, baby. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Hey, how are you all doing tonight, anyway, huh? You know, I just think that a lot of what we do here in Afghanistan can reflect so much of what you know is in the American culture, and the best of American culture, I'm sure you all agree, is American Idol, huh? Huh? Yeah. And so I want to tonight be the first. And, you know, I took Seacrest's name, which I think is kind of cute, and. Thank you. So, tonight we're going to have a number of great singers tonight here from Afghanistan, not from America, but from Afghanistan to sing a lot of the songs that I know you've all wanted to hear. And let's start out now with Benny Ahmed. Benny, let's bring up Benny now. Hey. What are you going to sing tonight, huh?
I want to sing Eye of the Tiger. It's a song by Survivor. I'm a little bit nervous.
No, you're doing fine, you're fine. Isn't he, ladies and gentlemen, is he doing fine?
Hell yeah! Hell yeah!
You're not getting witness, huh? Let me see, huh? No, you're good, you're good. So tell me about yourself, how old are you? I cut it out, now you're pissing me off. No, that's okay. So how old are you, Benny? Where are you from?
I come from Kabul. I come from Northeast Kabul.
Northeast Kabul has some good kids up there. You know, they got a lot of good blues up there, right?
Has a couple of clubs, yeah.
Okay, and what you going to sing for us tonight? Survivor, huh? That's kind of a wild thing. That's an 80s thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like the song. I listen to an American, Voice of America. You know.
Voice of America, that's very hip. Okay, let's hear, let's give it up now, huh? Get up out of your seats there. Ladies, take off the bags. Let's go. Here's Benny Ahmed now, Eye of the Tiger. Let's go. Come on, shut up, everybody. Let him sing. Nice move, huh?
Yeah, I like to move a little bit.
Yeah, look at that, ladies, huh? Yeah! Whoa, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that kid shakes that stuff, huh? Get the camera up a little bit, will you? On the street, if my chances to get him out of here, he sucks. That's not bad, Benny, is it?
Wait a minute, I don't
give a crap.
Okay, let's get on a guy now. I know you know this kid from last week, okay? Everybody has been giving us all kind of, yeah, you know, you got it. This cat's so good, you know, and he tried so hard last week. Let's bring him out here right now, you know, because he lost another competition, so he's trying out here on Afghan Idol. Let's bring out Ruben Stutter. Come on, Ruben Stutter, how you doing? Huh, Ruben, yeah.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Now, Ruben, you got blasted out there on you know, American Idol, you know, you won, but nobody gives a sweet Jesus, right?
No, man, no one cares, you know what I'm...
So you come to Afghan Idol to try to win some money and maybe be a big star here, huh?
Yeah, I think I could do, you know, Afghanistan, you know, it's my thing, you know.
Uh-huh. Now, where are you from?
I'm originally from Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado, huh? It's the home of the Rockies, huh? Come on,
yeah!
Get out of here! It's baseball season, you know.
Yeah, I don't give a sweet thing.
Okay, let's give it up now for Ruben Stoddard. He's come over here from America to win an Afghan Idol. He's going to sing, hey, this is sweet.
This is out of sight. This is one of my favorite tunes. I used to play this when I worked for Radio Free Europe, too, as a matter of fact. A little thing called, what's it called, Ruben?
Yeah, this is Stevie Wonder Superstition.
Yeah, let's go, let's hear it, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. My homeboys out there in Kandahar, man, I know a lot of you cats are still in the bag, if you know what I'm talking about, yeah.
Get that corny material.
Yeah. There is superstitions.
Ow!
The writing's on the wall.
Ow!
Ladder's about to fall. Looking glass.
Oh, man, that blows, man. The first thing I want you to do is contact the American authorities. Make sure they install a telephone in your neighborhood. Then everybody go and use it and you can vote, okay? This is Ahmed Seacrest. This has been Afghan Idol. You know, really sorry about the entertainment tonight.
Hey.
The guys that we did have for you, of course, was Benny Rashid and we also had Raheem Wallace.
They were both shot coming to the studio.
So
a sniper took them out.
So, thank you, Ruben, baby. No, seriously.
It's all right, man.
You know, you help me out in a jam, I help you out. Until next week, this Ahmed Seacrest said, hey,
Allah be praised. Yeah!
When do I get paid, man?
9-8-6-8-6, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. ...1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686 and www.philhenryshow.com. There's two ways that you can access the show. I suggest that you go to our website before you do anything else if you're a new listener, because believe you me, if you think you know what this show's about, forget it, man. Just go to the website. Go to the website, and you must get a backstage pass for $6.95. Not that any of that money goes into my pocket, but it does. And you get access to all of our classic radio comedy audio that goes back years and years. In fact, we just played the other day a walk down memory lane from Miami. I mean, 1994. So that's 10 years of, at least, we got 14 years of material on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. Dr. Jeff Dowder will be along shortly on face transplants. You know, this guy, the last time he was on the show, what did he talk about? He talked about how your head stays alive even if it gets cut off. You remember that? He's talking about how you can see your body or something. And I asked him, I said, how do they know? Because some guys who cut a guy's head off asked him to blink if he was still alive. And when the head was cut off, the guy's eyes were blinking. Yeah, okay, I'll do you guys that favor. You're cutting my head off, but why not just throw a little love your way? But first, Dick Morris. Now, who's he? Is he some guy that was important? Because I keep hearing this guy's name. Everywhere I go, I hear somebody being called Dick. Dick Morris. Anyway, I believe that he was in the Clinton administration. Can I just sort of get into the campaign just a little itsy witsy teeny bit? I'm not going to talk about Kerry and McCain running together. That's fine, good. I still ain't going to vote for Kerry, but I'm a huge admirer of John McCain's. Huge. If he was running for president, I'd vote for that cat. Kerry being at the head of that bill? No, 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 no. No, thank you. No can do. But McCain's good. Problem is, McCain doesn't want any part of it. least so far he doesn't. But a poll shows that a Kerry McCain ticket would beat Bush Cheney something like 53% to 39%. I mean, it's pretty significant. Now, never mind the fact that apparently the Democratic Party can't find a guy in their own party, in our own party, worthy enough to be vice president. I mean, that's pretty freaking sad. Hi, can we borrow a Republican? I mean, what is that about? You know, we are so pathetic when it comes to winning America's trust on the security issue, which, despite the opinions of many of my fine feathered friends out there, I told you guys it was gonna turn on security. It wasn't gonna turn on the economy. The economy's coming back. It's fine, baby. It's going to turn on security of the country. And when it comes to that, people don't trust the Democratic Party as much as they do the Republicans. So how do you solve that problem? Get a Republican to run with John Kerry. Now, along comes this guy, Dick Morris, who I guess gets paid by networks to, what do you call it, be a commentator or something? Now, he used to be in the Clinton administration. I don't know what he did, mowing lawns or shirts. I don't know what he did, but then he got out of disfavor, or he got out of favor and into disfavor with the Clintons because, I don't know, he called somebody a you-know-what, an MF or something, and so they threw him out of there, and they told him, don't darken our sheets again, and he left. Now this guy is hired, I guess, by local broadcast channels to do news commentary. Now, last night, we were listening to our late-night host here in Los Angeles, John Ziegler. And John, who does a very fine show, he had this guy Morris on. And this clown said, and I say clown with the greatest respect, that you wait, Kerry is going to choose Hillary Clinton to be his running mate. Well, I almost strangled when I heard that. What kind of a news guy? That's like the guy that they had on Fox that time after the Washington sniper was doing his job, who said, well, I think it's a paramilitary doing reconnaissance. Yeah, okay. Way to go, Barney. Man, go back and smoke another cigar. Go back and smoke another one of them big, fat, thick, white-papered cigars. Kerry isn't going to run with Hillary Clinton. You want to know why? Number one, women will not vote for women. See, there's some kind of there's an attitude, and I don't know where it started, that if you got a woman running for president, women will just flock to her. Women don't vote for women. Women are afraid of voting for women. We live in a paternal or which we call a patriarchal society, meaning daddy runs the family. And when it comes to women, they vote for a guy. Frankly, when it comes to guys, they vote for guys. For a woman to be credible as a president or even a vice president, it takes a lot, man. And Hillary Clinton, to quote my main man, Clint Eastwood, or to paraphrase at least, she ain't it. So anyway, Morris, good luck selling your book, dude. Because if it's filled with stuff like that, what do I need to read your book for, man? I could write my own, I guess. I mean, I could write something just as ill-informed. I got money, and I'll tell you right now, it goes into four figures that says Hillary Clinton ain't going to run on no ticket with Kerry. Kerry may be dumb, man, but he wasn't born last night. He didn't just fall off a wagon yesterday. This guy, believe you me, is not going to have her run with him. There's nothing wrong with Hillary Clinton, by the way. I happen to be a very, very big admirer of her from many different standpoints. A, she was a first lady who actually had a job outside of standing there and wishing well to a bunch of Girl Scout troops. B, she's a woman who was a first lady who had opinions about things. Well, blow me down. I guess women aren't supposed to have that, huh? C, she's kind of in your face. So what? I like women like that. I fall in love with women like that, and I divorce women. No, I haven't done that yet. My wife is my wife's kind of a brash butch type, just like Hillary Clinton. Janice, our producer, is a brat. No, I'm just kidding, Janice, about the brash part. No, I. In any event, there's just no way. I admire the hell out of her, and I think she makes she's fine. But I'll tell you right now. If I want to read a book that has observations so off the mark that it says that Kerry's going to run with Clinton, why don't I just read it A History of America written from the Chinese perspective? A History, an Intimate Portrait of America by Chung Pao Zhao. And the cat never left Suzhou port. He just was in his Mao suit, and he decided he'd read a bunch of Wild West books and do A History of America. I mean, that's where it's at. So forget about it, Morris. Go peddle your papers somewhere else, man. You are dead meat. Moving along, the McCain-Kerry ticket a winner. Yeah, people will vote for that one, but will McCain do it? The odds are, he says he doesn't want to, but Kerry needs somebody, and he needs someone bad. His candidacy is floundering. He doesn't inspire any, he couldn't inspire passion. I mean, he couldn't get a fire started, man, with a blowtorch. And today, of course, he realized what a sucker and what a chump a lot of people have been taking him for, and he finally said something publicly. As you well know, Al-Qaeda allegedly has people planted in the country right now, and according to the FBI and other security people are planning a terrorist attack in our country this summer. Now, that was the news as of yesterday. The thinking is that if they go after a target and commit a terrorist act in our country, it'll be to influence the election in November, and that will be to get George Bush out of there and John Kerry elected. Kerry, who has been admired by the French, who has been admired by some of the most odious people on the face of the earth, he finally couldn't stomach it any longer, couldn't stand the stench of it any longer, and finally publicly stated today that, and said in no uncertain terms, Al-Qaeda, if you're hoping for me to be president because things are going to get a little bit softer for you, think again. I'm not taking this gig to become the next, prime minister of Spain. Thank you very much. So that was kind of nice to hear. Nice to hear. It ain't going to get me to vote for him, though. Can you imagine that?
Hello, I'm Henri. I operate a fish restaurant here on the Champs-Élysées. John Kerry is my man. He is
What do you think about that, Senator Kerry? They really like you. Yeah, that's really great. No, seriously, the French, would you just remind me of it, please? Jesus, I'm having a hard enough time as it is, man. I'd be beating Bush's brains out in the polls every time you throw a frog up in my face.
Oh, Senator Kelly, you are so wonderful. Would you get to sit down? Will you
get away from me, and don't breathe that clam sauce on me either.
Yes, the streets of Paris are live. They know romance, they know love, and they know an elegant European type like Jean Kerry. Senator Kerry, thank you for visiting Paris. Can you tell us just exactly when it will be that America will begin to adopt the more casual, leisurely, and elegant style of Europe, and in so doing allow billions and millions of terrorists to live in your country and eat for free in restaurants?
What do you cats take me for, man? I'm running for president of the United...
No, please, sir. You're blowing the whole image, man. I mean, the guy didn't...
Get out of here. I ain't doing none of that. I'm going to the Republican side. Screw you.
Senator Kerry, you are nothing but a fascist.
Ah, bug off, frog. You kidding me, man? I got all the big badass war credentials, man, to come over here and start sucking some of that cream sauce you guys are eating? Forget it.
This concludes Eye on Paris with Senator Jean Kerry, who's a real piece of crap.
Thank you. All right, 1-800-44, that's just a little slug. I pulled that off of CBS. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Dr. Jeff Dowder on face transplants. I ain't kidding you. We'll talk about this. Coming up in the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, Senator Kelly, I think that you are...
Oh, what is it with you guys? Just because I got the big beak nose like De Gaulle.
You remind me so much of De Gaulle. And the time the France had balls the size of a bull, you know.
Cats give me the creeps, man. All right, coming up, Dr. Jeff Dowder and our mailbag. And don't forget our email address... is phs@philhendryshow.com. And now it's time for our medical file with Dr. Jeff Dowder. Dr. Dowder is an eminent professor of mechanical physics from Caltech University, and Dr. I don't know why we're playing C.C. Ryder for a medical review, bud. What is this about?
Well, you want to get medical music.
Yeah, hold on, Dr. Dotter.
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Just hold on for a minute. Why am I playing C.C. Ryder for a medical report?
Well, I thought it was very medical.
Well, it's not. Why is it medical?
Well, because a lot of blues singers died from alcoholism.
So, in other words, because they were in a hospital, this is a... Turn it off, bud.
You never like anything I do.
Yeah, that's pretty right. Sorry, Dr. Dotter. Thank you for joining us. You were at... Dr. Dotter joins us from the Morongo Indian Bingo in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I'm just out here relaxing. Sorry, my phone's out.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bust in on your relaxation, but Dr. Dotter, it is my impression, and I read a news story here yesterday, that plastic surgeons, can you move to a quieter area?
I will, but I've been on this machine now for about a half an hour. I'm a 200 ahead, and some old lady got the $5,000 jackpot 2 days ago. It's a nickel machine, so, I mean, if you want me to, I will, but it'd be kind of a drag. So.
No, go ahead and stay on the machine if that's, you know, what you want to do. It's a nickel slot machine of $5,000, huh?
Yeah.
All right. The story here is that medical experts are able to... Where is this bloody story? Oh, here it is. Face transplants. Doctors in... Can you move somewhere quieter?
Okay, I'll go over to the coffee shop.
Thank you. Doctors in Kentucky have begun preparing a document to be submitted to an ethics panel seeking permission to perform a face transplant. You're familiar with this?
Oh, absolutely. Face transplants, Phil, are absolutely one of the great boons of medical science. The ability to take a face, give a guy another face, and, I mean, if you can think about it, it's pretty cool, you know?
Well, what is cool about it? I understand where someone who... is disfigured, somebody who perhaps has suffered a terrible scar in a burn, for instance.
That's important, but I really think about that. I just think of just give a guy a face, you know, yeah, I have another face, is all I'm talking about.
All right, give me an example of what you mean, another face.
Well, you could see what I'm excited about, I'm looking forward to, what it'd be pretty interesting to do is, let's say, Chris Pelton, or let's just say any of your friends, you could give that guy a Chinese face, okay?
Now that, what difference does that make if I get a Chinese face?
Well, hold on. First of all, you probably have a better opportunity. If you could transplant a guy's face, yeah, you're right about burns and everything, okay? But if you could look Chinese, you'd probably be able to get into some pretty good universities.
And why?
Because people would think, what do you mean, because people think you're good at math?
What do you mean people would think I was good at math? Don't you think they'd give me a test?
I don't know. I mean, but the other thing is, there's a lot of different things about looking Chinese. I'm just interested in giving a guy's Chinese face, stuff like that.
Are you trying to tell me, man, you take a regular guy like an American cat, like a Caucasian dude, and just transplant a Chinese guy's face onto him so he could get into Cal Berkeley?
Well, and also, you can laugh. Look at all the great stuff that's happened to William Hung, okay, or Mr. Sulu.
And okay, so I'll be stopped on the street and say, are you William Hung? Is that what you're thinking?
Or people say, are you Mr. Sulu?
Are you Mr. Sulu?
Well, you know, you wanted me to come on the show, Mr. Henry. The other thing that I think is important about getting a Chinaman's face is...
And will you not say Chinaman, please? Could we say Chinese?
Sure, yeah, well, you know, whatever floats...
My boat?
Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
What else is good about having a Chinese face?
Well, one of the things is that I found when I was going through school is you're generally going to get a pretty damn decent meal at an average Chinese restaurant because, let me just explain.
Jesus.
No, because no Chinaman's going to try to slip a bad meal on you because he knows you know good Chinese food.
Well, you know, that is a great benefit, man. So I'll go through thousands of dollars of painful surgery.
What are you laughing at? I mean, let me
just tell you. You're asking me to go through thousands of dollars of painful surgery so that no Chinaman will slip a bad meal.
You know, Simon Schrader, I've got a nickel slot I got to get back to.
No, hold on for a minute, man, because I want to be clear, and I want my audience to know who it is who I'm dealing with. I'm going to go through thousands of dollars of painful surgery so no Chinaman will slip me a bad meal at a Chinese restaurant.
I'm talking about you asked me to come on your program and talk about the practical applications of getting a new face.
And isn't it called face transplant?
Yeah. I'm just trying to... Having a white guy body and a Chinese guy's face is a lot of the ways you get the best of both worlds.
Why?
Because you look like you're smart up top and you can kick ass down below. I mean, you walk into a Chinese restaurant, no questions asked, can't sit you down, you're getting the finest quail soup.
Let me ask you something, man. I know you're not a medical doctor, and maybe it was my mistake. You're a doctor of mechanical physics?
Yes, sir.
And that has nothing to do with medicine?
No, sir, it does not. No, sir, it does not.
Then why are you on my show?
Because I got a call from a Mr. Pelton who said, do you know anything about, getting a new face? And I said, I get face. I don't know.
Okay, thanks. Unreal. What is it with you, Pelton? I want to get a guy on about face transplant. You could get a Chinese face. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We had a very unusual and controversial guest on our show yesterday, Mr. Herb Sewell, a former child molester who is out of prison, submitted to chemical castration, and now gives commencement speeches at universities. Now, it might sound all well and good to you, but he was a very bizarre man who travels with bodyguards because he's been threatened with death by the parents of many of the children he hurt. Anyway, he was on our show yesterday, and one of our callers said, you'll never be able to pay for the things you've done. Here's
Phil Henry
call.
Show.
Comedy Gold.
Herb, you believe because you spent time in prison, you served your debt to society, but...
Well, that's what we're
remains,
told anyway.
Fact remains that the debt you owe the parents of these people you molested could never be repaid. And that's why they want to kill you. You can't understand that.
Well, wait.
You believe you've served time in prison, so you're good. You're squared your debt. But that's only with society, not with the parents of these people.
Well, when you say only with society, not with the parents, I'm not sure you're even clear on what it is you just said. What do you mean by that? I've caused many of these children problems, no doubt. But I have rehabilitated, and I've learned to channel my energy into something helpful for these students, which is to be a commencement speaker. Now, Sally Porvey has stated publicly that she wants to kill me like a cop. I'm sorry?
Psychologists say child molesters are never rehabilitated, first of all.
Well, you know what?
All,
they may be right.
Of all, yeah. Exactly right. It's a sickness that can never be cured.
What about that,
second
Mr.
of all? Second of all, yeah, okay, society says that's how you pay your debt. But if you have a child of your own, when someone, a monster...
I would never have a child of my own, no.
If a monster, then you can't possibly understand how a monster like yourself can cause so much damage, how a parent of that child would want to kill you in a heartbeat.
Mr. Sewell,
and sitting in jail does not eradicate that problem.
Can you comment on that, please?
You want me to comment on what he just said? I can't disagree with anything that he said. I am a monster. That I know I am a monster. I know that.
Are you rehabilitated?
But I know that if Sally Porvey or any of these parents that have threatened me came near me, I would have to hurt them before they hurt me. Now, I don't want that to happen. I do travel with bodyguards, and I do have a story to tell. Understand, if you were on the isolation ward that I was on with some of the most bona fide psychopaths this world has ever seen, I was beaten within an inch of my life by one of them with a food tray.
What is this a nervous laugh of yours, sir?
I'm sorry?
Is that a nervous laugh of yours?
You
have a nervous laugh when you mention something particularly odious.
I suppose it is, yes. But you have to understand again. Chemical castration, shock therapy. I'm almost proud of this, by the way, Bob, when I list these to people. I've been chemically castrated. I've had shock therapy. I've been engaged by psychopaths. I was a member of a white supremacist group. What more can you do to me? What more can society do to me? You know, do you understand what I'm saying, sir?
It doesn't mean that you're good at the problem.
Okay, Bob, thank you for your call.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay. This is, psycho time with that guy, man. Herb Sewell, a real piece of garbage. And that was from yesterday's show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We were going to do a Life Imitates Phil. We're going to have another one for you later on tonight. Not tonight. We'll have one later on in the week. Life Imitates Phil is a segment where we play a character interview that we did that is actually something that precedes actual events in life. And there are a number of them. But all of these come to us by way of email, so if you have one, you can send it to phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. Which brings us, of course, to that segment of our program called The Mailbag. Phil Henry Show Mailbag. Here is our first letter from Sebastian. I was listening to your show last night on Seattle's KQBZ. The guest was Herb Sewell, the pedophile author commencement speaker. I have checked every source I can on the internet, and I can't find any information on him. Is my spelling of his name correct? I would be interested on your background check on him. Thanks for your help. Hey, Phil, for the past three seasons on American Idol, the finals have come down to a white contestant and a black contestant from the South. First there was Kelly and Justin, then Reuben and Clay, and now finally Fantasia and that pudgy kid from Georgia. It all seems a little too politically correct for it to be a coincidence. I'm going to go out on a limb and bet that next year's final will be between a black and white again, but then again, if the Asian and Latin communities step up and spend more cash on American Idol advertisers, I might just change that bet. Thanks for the great show, John in Mountain View, California. Word. I was in the... Boy, no kidding, man. So remember, folks, step up to the plate, buy more Lucky Strike cigarettes. I was in Caesar's Palace Racebook last weekend, and I saw a horse named Then She Laughs with jockey Jay Santos aboard. I had to put $10 on it. At 35-1, I was going to be rich. Well, for all I know, the old nag still isn't finished. She's probably still laughing, though. As a longtime listener, backstage pass holder, I even bought a Ted's. We want to put our meat in your blank apron as a wedding gift for another pair of listeners. Just send me $10 and there won't be any trouble. Thank you, Janu in Thousand Oaks. Hey, wait a minute. Janu. I know a Jana in Thousand Oaks. Is that you, Jana? Or is it Janu? I knew a Jana, but I never... never mind. Dear Mr. Henry, does the Constitution of the United States extend beyond our borders as it pertains to the First Amendment, freedom of the press, and are American journalists guaranteed free speech rights on foreign soil? If not, can you explain why our government and military is spending effort and manpower to protect these American journalists when their reporting appears to clearly oppose and undermine the U.S.'s overall mission? And if that is the case, I would disembed the reporters and allow them to report all they want, but without the protection of those whom they continuously portray in a never-ending negative light, Benjamin Sherrill, Woodland Hills, California. I mean, that's so true, and nobody gets it. Like, for instance, Sean Penn, who, you know, was like one of the premier critics of America's activities in Iraq, right? Okay, does anybody notice that when he went over there when Saddam was still in charge, he had nothing bad to say about Saddam? Only bad stuff to say about America. Then when he goes over there when America's in charge, he still only has bad stuff to say about America and nothing bad to say about Saddam. I guess that's because he really believes that he could have said bad stuff about Saddam had he felt like it, but he just didn't feel like saying it when Saddam was in power, huh? Or maybe you just dig Saddam Hussein. Boy. Dear Mr. Henry, hi there. My name is Mark, and I love your show and listen to it every day via the backstage pass while at work. I'm writing because within these past few months, I don't believe I've heard a funnier line than Dean Wheeler while comparing others' mistakes to his own wrongdoing of implementing Mexican women illegal immigrants as prostitutes, attempting to quote the Bible, "If you don't have no sin, go ahead and throw the, brick." Yeah, remember when Jesus said that? If you don't have no sin, go ahead and throw the brick. Thanks, Phil, for making my day at work more enjoyable. Mark in Anaheim. Home of the Ducks. Huh? I don't know. I'm getting a secret message here, a very secret message. What are you trying to say to me, Mark? Go ahead. You can just say it on the microphone here.
Jay Santos is...
Oh, it's Jay Santos' favorite pastime. Oh, okay. Hey, that's cool. And that was the guy that bet on the hog. I got it. Kids, really, he's in trouble, isn't he? All right, the very first Phil Henry show I heard was about a pilot who took people up in his small plane, shut off the engine, and took it into a dive to make them think they were going to die. He turned the engine on and pulled out of the dive just in time to save their lives and became their hero so they would pay him additional money as a reward. That program was hysterical. It is definitely worth rebroadcasting. Thank you, Kenna. We're going to try to get to that one, huh, Janice? No, maybe. I don't know. It's a long time ago, dude, but that is a very fond memory as well. I'd love to tell you why we can't go too deep into our archives, but I can't. And I certainly would not, you know, tell you, having been sworn to secrecy, but it's got something to do with my boss. Okay. I think I owe that to you. I can tell you that there are some, there are bits of material that we're not too sure is airable since the implementation of certain FCC guidelines. And rather than tempt the fates, rather than make somebody cross in Washington, well, we'll just not go there. Because we wouldn't want to make them cross, would we? We wouldn't want to make them upset. We'll just go ahead and continue on with the program. God forbid we, you know, stand up for ourselves as broadcasters. Now, we wouldn't want to do that either. And I can tell... Hold on for a minute.
FCC.
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, you're not allowed to talk about this, Mr. Henry.
I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. I think it's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We're going to get into our sports file. News on Andre Rison, Chris Warren, two former NFL players, and, of course, my prediction that the Lakers will not get out of the Western Conference of the NBA. I don't think they're going to win that series at all. Let me take a go. David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication. Yeah, David?
Could you repeat what you just said?
What?
What you just said.
You got Andre Rison.
No, about the Lakers.
They ain't getting out of the Western Conference.
Yeah, I heard you say that last week. Yeah,
I said it last week. I'll say it again. There's no way they get out of the Western Conference. These guys are overrated from the gate.
Bud, go ahead and read them what you got.
Kobe Bryant scored 18 of his 31 points.
No.
In the third quarter to lead the Lakers.
No, please, God, no.
To a 92-85 win over the Minnesota Timber Dogs in Game 4 of the Western Conference.
Western Conference. You mean they won?
Yeah, they won. 92-85. They lead the series 3-1. Get it, bud.
Uh-huh. I get it.
Now keep playing it.
Will you knock it off?
What a retard.
You said the Lakers were going to get out of the Western Conference, and they did. And on account of that, listen to this.
How do you feel, man?
I guess I feel stupid, okay? I feel stupid. I feel very stupid. But, you know, I'm a big boy. My hat's off to the Lakers. Good for them. I just didn't think with all of the discord this year that they were going to be able to do it. But, hey, I'm one of many who counted them out. You know, I'm not right all the time.
Yeah, you sure wasn't right. Listen to this.
Oh, gee, that's funny, man. I haven't heard that in a long time.
You didn't say the Lakers again at our Western Conference. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, bud, you can knock it off.
Yeah. Henry, you said...
Knock it off, bud.
You said that the Lakers wouldn't get out.
Knock it off, bud.
You heard him, bud.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Phil, you said the Lakers wouldn't get out of the Western Conference.
He's right. That's what I said. And you know what? There was a time when my instinct, for instance, I'll never forget. Nah, never mind. I'm not going to tell you about it when I was right. I was wrong and I was wrong. Although I ain't wrong yet. You know, I ain't wrong yet. All right, I'm wrong. Andre Rison, dig this. Andre Rison, former National Football League wideout, quite a good player in his years in the NFL. He's now retired. He sat out the 2003 season because he's got a drug problem, like a lot of those losers. I don't know what his problem is. He violated the substance abuse. He hasn't drawn a paycheck since 2000. But at one time, Andre Rison was one of the fleet new young wide receivers of the National Football League. Damn good football player. He owes, in back child support, $68,500 to his, his ex-wife, Tanya, but he actually owes it to his teenage son, who is 17 years of age. And according to the authorities in Michigan, Mr. Rison has been given every opportunity to pay it. The court says that they've tried civil bench warrants, they've tried using what the court calls a receiver, they've tried liens against real estate, every tool, quote, we've had available to us hasn't resulted in child support. Andre Rison doesn't pay child support, $68,500. There's another scumbag like this. His name is Chris Warren. He's a former Seattle Seahawk. Chris Warren owes $103,147 at $5,000 a month. Now, why do I single these guys out? Because I want to keep driving the point home over and over and over again that these men in the National Football League, the NBA, the NHL, and Major League Baseball are in no way, shape, or form heroes or should be to anybody. They're not role models. They're not examples to live your life in any particular way. If you want to find examples of manhood, look beyond professional sports. It is less likely that you'll find men in professional sports than you will in the rest of the world. Why? Because in most cases in professional sports, whether or not they're bad guys or good guys, they've had their rear ends wiped and their noses blown since they were in high school. These guys have not learned to stand on their own 2 feet in any way, shape, or form. And beyond that, this is the reason why we got gang problems right here. Guys that can't take responsibility for their kids, and especially they got a male son who winds up looking for some kind of a male role model or some kind of a model of strength, they join up with a gang. So what I'm saying to them...
Why are you playing that? Just trying to lighten it up.
This isn't the time to lighten it up. Get out of here.
I thought you wanted me to lighten it up.
Not now. I'm in the middle of rapping about this, bud. This is serious stuff, playing the horn. Andre Rison and Chris Warren are an example of why, and guys like, who's the fat slob that's playing for the Raiders now? Warren Sapp. These are the reason why we have gangs. Let's have a kid, and then let's not have anything more to do with a kid, and have no responsibility to the child. Kid grows up really, really angry. Bet you money that Andre Rison right now has got one pissed off 17-year-old son. Why the hell's that kid believe in anything? And it's something that a woman cannot possibly give a boy. I'm sorry. Yeah, yes, they can. In many occasions, they can certainly, you know. But if unless she's an exceptional woman, the kid's going to turn into some kind of a real sociopath. I don't want to hear any more about sports stars being heroes. I don't give a crap if they donate money to charities. I don't care what they do. Let them go out and play football and bat. Do what you do best. Bounce the ball up and down and put it through the round metal thing, and everybody will go, "Wee!" We'll be right... No, we won't be right back. Gee, I can actually say these words. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We won't be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.